Our Hebrew scripture reading continues the story of Elijah, reading on from last week.
May the words
Elijah
of mouth
has come to the end of his life,
and the actions
and
of our
everyone
lives
knows it.
Be acceptable in your sight.
He has been blessed with a special relationship with God
and our Redeemer,
and he is about to be taken up into heaven.
Amen.
His protege, Elisha, wants to hang on to every moment
going
he can have with Elijah,
and praying,
and wants to be faithful to him in the end.
Gratitude.
Much of
the
emotion
in
this story is very familiar to us from our experience of letting go of loved ones.
A couple times a day, just to see what's going on. Trying to ignore the media.
I think you mix these
silliness.
Old Testament names with this Trinidadian
trying
accent.
To hold
and it
the
leaves
significance
a recipe for some interesting reading this morning.
This
but
man's life
anyway,
prayers
I'm going to try and make my best of it.
People
so today we read from 2 Kings
show,
chapter 2, verses
to
1 to 14.
For his family.
Just before the Lord took Elijah
people
up to heaven
Tata.
In a windstorm, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal.
Term of endearment.
Elijah told Elisha, "Stay here,
but
for the Lord has sent me to Bethel."
Speaks a little bit about.
But Elisha said,
"The degree to which
as certainly as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you."
I was 26 years old.
So they went down to
when
Bethel.
When he was released from jail after
some sons of the prophets
years.
And members of the prophetic guild in Bethel came out
and
to Elisha and said,
I'll never forget the years that led up to that.
Do you know that today the Lord is going to take
which,
your master from you?
The church actually
he
played
answered,
a significant role.
Yes, I know, but
be quiet
enforcing
the end
about
of apartheid
it.
Both within South Africa
Elijah
and
said to
as,
him,
as
Elisha, stay
for
here. For the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he again replied, as certainly as
the
Lord lives,
Canadian government
and as you live,
to stand
I will not leave
the prevailing
you. And so they went on to Jericho.
Of the strong nations
some
of
members
the world
of the prophetic guild in Jericho approached Elisha and said,
I am proud of.
Do you know that today the Lord is going to
I'll
take your master
the
from you?
He was released. Do you remember that?
He answered,
how many people remember
yes, I know,
when he was when
but
he
be quiet
was
about
released
it.
From jail. Yeah.
Elijah said to him,
and what that felt
stay
like.
Here, for the Lord has sent
you
me to
Jordan.
You
may remember
but
other
he
things
replied,
about him as well.
As certainly as the Lord lives, and as
I
you
will
live,
always remember his
I will not leave you.
As he spoke to the world.
And so they traveled on
after
together.
He was released.
The 50 members of the prophetic
no
guild
animosity.
Went and stood opposite them at a distance,
no need
while
to
Elijah and Elisha
he
stood by the Jordan.
Whose personal
Elijah took his coat,
and healing,
folded it up,
and, inner
and
character
hit the water with it.
Created a new
the
pathway.
Water divided,
it
and the two of them crossed over on
way.
Dry ground.
That was
when they had crossed
needed.
Over,
in a nation
Elijah
healing,
said to Elisha,
and
what can
where
I do for you
was great,
before I am taken
so
away from you?
And where
Elisha answered,
the inner character of the nation
may I receive a double portion of the prophetic
stake.
Spirit that energizes you? Elijah replied,
a leader
that's
in many
a difficult
ways who dealt
request.
In redemption.
Should you see me taken from you,
in South
may
Africa
it be
and,
so.
And around the world.
But if you don't, then it will not happen.
And today they feel
as they were walking along and talking, suddenly a
and
fiery chariot and fiery
too,
horses
and we
appeared.
Certainly joined together in it.
The chariot went between Elijah and Elisha.
Today,
and Elijah went up to heaven
Elijah,
in a windstorm.
Elijah?
While Elisha was watching, he was crying out, my father, the chariot and horsemen
come.
Of Israel.
The
then he could
go.
No longer see him. He
in the
grabbed
process,
his clothes
on
and tore them into.
Values,
he picked up Elijah's
up
coat,
of
which had fallen off him, and went back and stood on the shore of the Jordan. He took
and
the coat cloak that had fallen off Elijah and hit the water with it.
Now when the Lord
and
was
said,
about to take
where
Elijah
is the Lord, the God of Elijah?
Whirlwind.
And when
Elijah
he hit
and
the
Elisha
water,
were on their way
it
to Gilgal,
divided.
And Elisha
and
said to Elisha,
over.
Stay here, for the Lord
hear what
has
the
sent
Spirit
me to Bethel.
Is saying to the
and
church.
And Elisha says, as the Lord lives and as you live, I'm with you. So they go to Bethel, and the company of the prophets come out, and they say, Elisha, the Lord is going to take him today. He said, yeah, I know, but I don't want to talk about it. Elijah knows what's coming. He knows that his time has come, and he knows that Elisha can and must stand on his own. It's going to happen. And he also knows that Elisha doesn't feel ready. These two have been together as teacher and student, mentor and apprentice for so long. They've grown close. Elisha, though skilled and wise, still feels small in the shadow cast by Elijah. One of the greatest prophets Israel ever had. Elijah knows that his death will be devastating for Elisha. So he invents an excuse to take one step apart before it happens. But Elisha is going to have none of it. So to Bethel they go. Hanging around like thoughts that won't go away is the company of the prophets, right, around this story, reminding Elisha that Elijah will go and he will have to be the prophet. And Elisha doesn't want to face the possibility, and he consistently silences those voices. I mean, I recognize, do you recognize that in life? You know, Will, you're getting older, and those knees won't take that kind of abuse anymore. I know. I don't want to talk about it. You know, Will, the big half-century mark is coming. I know. I don't want to talk about it. Don't remind me. So we know this scenario, right? Another journey, this one farther, and the last, same results. Elijah says to Elisha, stay here, the Lord wants me in Jericho, and Elisha says, I'm not going to leave you. It's not going to happen. So they come to Jericho. Once again, the conscience, the circling voices are saying, do you know what today means, Elisha? And he consistently says, yeah, and shut up about it finally, okay? It starts to get a little bit comical, and I think the intent of the writer of the Hebrew Scriptures is that we kind of start to find this a little bit over the top. And it can be in your life too, right? But the same results. This time, on the way, it must have been even worse for the young prophet. As the old parts the water. Jeez, really? Is that what it means to be a prophet? No, you really can't leave. I can't do that. And the young prophet looks at the grace and ease, or so I imagine, and just is intimidated by the whole thing. They both know the game they're playing, right? They're talking about everything but the elephant in the room. I need to go down to the river. Yeah, and I'm not leaving you. You know, but they're not talking directly about what's about to happen. They both know he will die, and each one skirts the issue. Finally, the older prophet, once they get to the other side of the river, says, okay, enough of this. What do you want from me? Tell me what I may do for you. And Elisha says, I just want to have what you have. Actually, a double portion of what you have. Because I see it and it is so fine. So fine. You ask a hard thing. And yet, we'll see what happens. And you will know. There will be signs. If you see me as I go, well, you'll know. The older prophet says to the younger prophet, to be the prophet that I know you can be, you have to let me go. You have to be prepared to stand on your own. I can't make that happen for you. So as they continue walking and talking, the chariot and the fire, horses separate the two of them, and Elijah ascends into the whirlwind, and Elisha is watching and crying out, Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen. But when he can't see him any longer, he's just struck with grief. This is a moment that we also recognize that, well, what do you do? What do you do? He tears his clothes. He's just grief-stricken. And so with clothes torn, Elisha must now, ready or not, stand on his own. Which is, it seems to me, what he's been struggling with the whole time. I picture him coming to the river, the same one that Elijah just finished parting with such ease and grace, and tentatively, carefully, with not a whole lot of confidence and authority, striking the water. Not too hard, and stunningly, the waters part, and he realizes it's time to come into your own. It's time to step up. It's time to be the person you are called to be without props. The torch has been passed. Do you remember doing something for the first time alone? Without the support you were used to? I remember my first solo funeral without a supervisor around. Without somebody there who I could just kind of turn to and say, or even look at and go, you know how you look without saying anything, and the person smiles and you think, oh, I'll be okay. I was terrified. I lost sleep. And afterwards, as I spoke to my mentor and supervisor, who was at a distance at the time, there was a sense of really deep satisfaction. A company of the prophets would surely have recognized, oh, look at that. There goes Will. He's becoming a minister. I mean, do you remember when you first rode a bicycle? Or maybe when you helped somebody else first ride on their own without being held up? I'll never forget it with each one of my kids. That moment when they're just going and they're, and you know, they're correcting, but they're doing it in a jerky sort of way. But they're doing it. It's not perfect, but they're doing it. And when they stop, that look on their face, that sense of coming into your own, is incredible. I understand Elisha. I understand him, and I think I am him, even as I try to be Elisha or Elijah to others. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. It is momentous in South Africa today, as the mantle of freedom and justice is being passed from one generation to the next. We know that Nelson Mandela has not been kind of actively leading for years now. But symbolically, as an icon of freedom, his presence is still felt, and it's huge. It will continue to be felt. People don't necessarily know that too well at this moment. It feels more like all loss and nothing left, but it will be felt. People will still quote him, invoke his name, remember what he stood for. But you can feel the mantle being passed with all the anxiety and grief that goes with it. But there is another leader. There are other leaders. They exist. Some are children today who look to Mandela and reluctantly feel the universe shift and the mantle fall. That's why I asked Carmen how responsibility felt. Hey? Because it feels, it's a responsibility is a mingling of, it builds you up because it weighs you down. There's an interesting thing about responsibility, about the mantle. It's called a mantle, a coat, on purpose. Imagine that you are at this very moment an Elisha, a receiving one, a recipient in the hereditary line of the communion of saints. And you are at the very same moment Elijah, a giving one, passing on to someone after you, the mantle of the Christian faith, of values, of identity, of spirit. That's who you are. We gather around this table, the communion of saints. This table is amazing. Because not only are people gathering around this table all over the world today, in Pretoria today, but people have been gathering around this table for 2,000 years. The communion of saints is beyond space and time. And you, as you gather around the table, are both Elisha and Elijah, both the recipient and the giver. May God grant us the grace to play our role in the generation that is now and to step aside that others might be fully who they are called to be in the communion of the saints. Amen.